Welcome to the Our Stories podcast, where we explore the lives of healthcare providers as part of our wellness program with the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University. My name is Caroline Peacock, and I'm one of the vice chairs of wellness within the HMO department, and I'm also director of spiritual health at Winship Cancer Institute. And today, we're very fortunate because we have Dr. Melissa Oye, who is a first-year fellow within the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. Dr. Oye, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, this is exciting because I think you're one of our only fellows who's ever done one of these recordings. And I think it's just wonderful when we have the perspective of people who are new to our system and also who are in the training process of entering into this field. So I would like to start by asking you, when you look back on your life history to this point, when you were a child, for example, could you ever have imagined yourself doing this very specific, particular work?
I would say yes. Well, when I was a young child, my dream was actually to be an Olympic gymnast. And since
Okay.
it didn't work out, there was a plan change. And when I was in high school, my senior year, my grandmother, who was my best friend, was diagnosed with a form of blood cancer called Hodgkin lymphoma. So me and my siblings spent a lot of time with her in the heart throughout her hospital course. And that's when I first realized that I wanted to go into the oncology field. I had an interest in medicine from young because my dad is in medicine. He's a vascular surgeon and he was a
Okay.
great inspiration. He loved his job. He was very passionate about his job and got a lot of joy out of his job. So I saw someone every day going to work doing what they absolutely loved to do, which was taking care of people within the healthcare realm. So he inspired me to go into medicine and then specifically oncology that came from the cancer diagnosis of my grandma. So looking back, yeah, I think I always knew I wanted to do it since high school. And then I went through medical school and residency, and that remained the same, that I knew I wanted to go into oncology.
Wonderful. That is so interesting to hear about. And I'm curious in particular about your father. You said he was a thoracic surgeon. Is that what you said?
Vascular surgeon.
I'm sorry, vascular surgeon. And when you were growing up, do you remember any stories that he shared with you about medicine, or did you ever get to, see him in his milieu at work? Were there any kinds of experiences of impressions of medicine that stuck with you from that time?
Yes, and one funny story that I love to tell is that I have four siblings and we're all very similar in age. So when my dad was at work and my mother was a little bit tired of us, although I think that we were pretty good kids, she would put us in the car and send us to the hospital with our dad. But he was in surgery most of the time. So we would sit in the doctor's lounge and watch TV, eat the snacks and the drinks that they provide for the physicians. And then on the overhead, sometimes we would hear them call, like paging Dr. Oye to OR room two. And we would like
Wow.
be cheering for him, like,
Okay.
yeah. And I think growing up in the community was a small community we lived in West Virginia. And within the church, we would have a lot of people come up to us and say, "Your dad saved my life. You know, he's
Oh.
an angel. I can't believe that I'm here because of your dad." So we all, me and my siblings, had such a good impression on medicine and the important work that my dad was doing.
That is so amazing. I just love that visual of imagining you guys in as kids hanging out in the doctor's lounge and hearing that overhead.
Yes.
And I imagine you felt really proud of him,
Absolutely.
just to know he's the one that they need in this
Yes.
moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. We were cheering for him like, "That's our dad."
That is so wonderful. And then, of course, as you mentioned at church, to have people tell you those things about your father and to know that he was really making a difference in people's lives, and especially also within the small community, like you
Right.
mentioned, that you probably really knew a lot of people, that he
Right.
helped. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it made a lot of sense that he was at work a lot, being a surgeon. A lot of time. So there were many times that he would leave before we would wake up, and by the time we're going to sleep, he's still at work, missing some of our sporting events and whatnot because he was at work. But we understood that he loved us, but there was people out there who needed him more than we needed him in the house at times. So it put meaning to his work. Like, we know he's absent, but he's absent for a cause that is much bigger than us, which was a beautiful thing.
That's lovely to hear about. And I'm curious, when he spoke to you about medicine, and of course his field was different from what you're pursuing now, but did he give you a sense of ways that it was important to treat patients and their families? Did you learn any of those lessons from him? And would you be willing to share a little bit of those values?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, I think many of us think that our parents are the best creatures that ever walked this earth, but I'll have to say the same about my dad, that he's an amazing person, amazing surgeon, very compassionate. He treats anyone and everyone with the respect that they deserve as a human being, especially those who are going through difficult times and their physical health, and they need someone who understands, who's compassionate, who's caring. And my dad really instilled all of those values into us as people first, and then as a physician second. So there would be some patient stories where they would tell us, your dad would come into the room dancing, singing for us, or on holidays when he was working, like Christmas or Thanksgiving, doing special things for them, celebrating with them within the hospital. So an exemplar role model of what it is to be a caring, compassionate physician. And he's doing it no more because this is what he was meant to do. This was his purpose. And it was a beautiful thing. It was so inspiring to say, wow, he wakes up every day and this is what he was meant to do. And that's the type of physician I want to be. I want to wake up with my purpose and knowing that I am instilling the best positive energy and then the medical intellect that I have as well to provide the best care.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that you have that role model in your life, and that I can hear within you, just as you're speaking, just what a passion you have for doing that yourself in your own practice. You mentioned about your grandmother and her experience with cancer, and obviously you went through medical school, you went through many different rotations of different types of medicine, and you went into residency. I'm curious, through your training, what drew you to continue wanting to focus in this particular area of hematology and medical oncology?
I think oncology, when you hear the word cancer, it's such a scary word. It brings so much emotions into people. And many people nowadays will have experience with someone, whether themselves or someone within their family or friend group, having cancer. And it really is a diagnosis that not only changes the trajectory of the patient, but really their whole family. And what I wanted to do is be in a field where I can really have a positive impact on the patient and their family through one of the most difficult diagnoses that they may ever receive in their lives, which is a cancer diagnosis. So I always thought, if someone's going through the worst time in their life and they have someone who's kind, caring, compassionate, that their experience within the healthcare system is going to be better. And I wanted to be that person for those people going through specifically a cancer diagnosis, because I know the impact that it has on the whole family. It can really be a very cumbersome diagnosis. And you need a healthcare team who wants to be there, who wants to be there and taking care of oncology patients. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the oncology field. It's not a field that you fall into just because you don't know what you want to do, you go into oncology, right? That is not that field. People who are there, the nurses, the physician, the techs, the dietitian, et cetera, they're all in the oncology field because they have some sort of drawing, some sort of connection to the field. So I think in general, you see a lot of people who are happy and content with their job, even though it can be stressful at times, of course, that there can be a lot of emotional hurdles in the field of oncology, but we all have some sort of passion for the field of oncology. So it makes it a nice place to work.
It's and I can hear within you this sense of being at home within this particular profession. And that's a real blessing in life to know you found what is the right fit for you. So I'm so delighted for you about that. And I'm curious, I know you're in the first year of what I presume will be a 3-year fellowship. Is that correct?
Correct.
And at this point, have you identified what area of specialty or research that you'd like to focus on?
That's what I'm figuring out now because the field of hematology oncology is so broad and it's hard to be an expert in everything. So many people will have their niche within their field. So I'm trying to figure out where I see myself for the duration of my career, which would be a long time, and where I can have the most impact and feel the most fulfilled. So that is what I am figuring out now, and it's still a process trying to figure out where I fit in because I want to make sure that I make the right decision because it will be a lifelong career.
That sounds like there's a lot of wisdom in that, sort of taking the time to let things cook and see what feels right.
Yes.
I know that within medical training, a very large part of the process is mentorship. And I'm sure you've received a lot of mentorship from attendings, from faculty, during medical school, during residency, and now during fellowship. And I'm wondering if you might be able to share an example or of somebody who's had a profound impact on you in terms of their mentorship of you, and maybe a story to go along with that if you feel moved.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for me, when I look for a mentor, when I consider someone a great mentor, it's someone that I relate to, typically both personally and professionally, especially being a woman in medicine and in a field like hematology oncology, where still it's a male predominant field, although women are definitely increasing year by year within the field. I want to feel that my mentor connects with me. I can talk to him level about what it is to be a woman in medicine, what it means to have a family and balance your family life and medicine. And of course, their professional expertise in whatever field that they're in. So I'm still in the process of identifying mentors here in fellowship since I'm still getting accustomed to this new fellowship. But in residency, I've had some great mentors that just really care about your well-being, that they don't have an agenda. They just want you to feel happy and fulfilled in the decision that you make. And they support you no matter where you go for fellowship, no matter the field within the field, what you decide to pursue, whether that's more hematology or the oncology side, someone who's just in your corner with their cheerleading sign for you. So that's what I look for in a mentor is just someone that really I connect with and I want to emulate them, but their practice, their way of talking with patients, their intelligence, their knowledge is something that I want to incorporate into myself. So when I'm in their position to be a mentor, that I'm a great mentor.
I love that. Just kind of imagining the future of yourself being in that role. And this is a question I sometimes like to ask people. When you look at yourself 20, 30 years down the road from here, what do you hope you will have accomplished? Or what do you hope your life will look like at that moment?
I hope that in that time period that I can really connect with the community that I'm in or the community and population in large. I think being a minority in medicine, there's a lot of distrust within the minority community of the traditional healthcare system because of historical issues and problems that have gone on. So I really want to, in the next years within my fellowship and then in my career, make sure I'm connecting with those who have maybe a bad taste of what traditional medicine is in their mouth from prior experiences and be able to reach out to them and to connect to make sure that they're still engaging with the healthcare system to get their basic screening and the routine exams and that when they do have something that comes up that they're going to the doctors and advocating for themselves. Hey, I'm having this chest pain. I don't know what it is, but I need to get it checked out versus kind of ignoring it, pushing it to the side for months and months, and then coming in and having a diagnosis much more like extravagant than maybe it would have been if it would have been checked out a little bit earlier. So I want to make sure that I'm giving back to the community in large, that they're hearing from someone that maybe looks like them, that they can relate to me, that they feel that I'm on their side, because I want to make sure that everyone is getting the healthcare that we all deserve. And to do that, you have to engage with the medical system and you have to have some sort of trust in the medical system. So I think me being able to relate to communities that look like me as an African American woman is something that I'm really passionate about. I want to make sure that we are advocating for ourselves, because no one's going to advocate for yourself like you will.
I love that. I'm so happy to hear you talk about that. And I can imagine that having such a profound impact, concrete impact on humans' lives, you know, to have a physician who looks like them, who they feel like they can have some trust with, and to share with them what's going on. And I'm curious if I know as part of your fellowship and just as a physician in general, there's research is embedded within the profession. And I'm curious if any of these issues relating to equity and inclusion within medicine are an area of interest for you in terms of research.
Yes, absolutely. Some of the research that I am working on starting now is with Dr. Bahave, who is a breast cancer specialist, and she does a lot of disparities work. So I'm going into some breast cancer research, looking at disparities and symptoms from different newer medications that we have for breast cancer treatment. So definitely an area that I'm interested in researching. And on top of the research, I want to make sure that I'm disseminating this information to the community. So it's not something that we know, but then the people who is affected most doesn't really have that information.
So it's
So
concrete and applicable, translatable, helpful,
exactly.
really making a difference in people, real humans' lives.
Real humans in layman terms as well, because don't understand medical terminology and it is extensive. I'm still learning things every single day, and someone's coming talking to you as if you went to medical school. You're not going to understand that. You're going to be blank, right? I want to make sure that I'm giving the information at a level that it can be received and understood. And I think that sometimes for medical professionals, we forget, right? We have to take off the medical hat and go to layman's terms. Like for me, example, I know nothing about cars. So if I go to the car dealership and they're telling me all these 10 things that are wrong with my car, I'm really not going to understand what's going on. You're going to have to break it down like you're talking to someone who's in middle school, because that's my level of engineering, car engineering knowledge. So I think that's something that's really important in the medical field, is make sure we're giving the information in a way that is digestible to a layman person.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for describing that. You know, I have this sense from you, and our listeners probably can hear this in your voice, and I can certainly see it on your face and on Zoom, that you have a lot of joy when you're talking about medicine and talking about your career. And I also know that fellowship is very hard and very, very, very intense. And so I'm curious how, in the midst of these difficult years, not just now in fellowship, but you know, residency and medical school are no easy thing either. I'm curious how you what your patterns are for tending to yourself and how you're managing to get through this experience.
Yeah, definitely a good support system is key. You have to have those friends and family that you can lean on. And fortunately for me, as I said to me, like my dad was a huge inspiration for me going into medicine. He also inspired my three other siblings to go into
Oh,
medicine.
wow. That's
We all
amazing.
went to the same medical school. So we
Wow.
all have gone through the trenches and very like back-to-back years. So I always have them where I can lean on them and text them with questions, concerns, because they know exactly what I've gone through, and made excellent friends in medical school residency and now in fellowship, that we support each other through it. We know our ultimate goal. We know why we went into medicine, why we continue to work to our end goals of whichever fellowships that we're pursuing. And we know that it's tough. Medicine training is tough. You miss a lot of things. You miss vacations and weddings. And for me, a lot of my 20s was spent in medical training. So you have to find the joy in your work to make it worth it. right? And then also have that support system that you can lean on. So I have a wonderful support system.
I'm so glad to hear about that support system in your family. There are a lot of Dr. Oyes out there, I guess. That's really amazing. Well, I am just delighted to get to have this conversation with you about wellness, about your passion for medicine, your passion for hematology and medical oncology. I'm curious, as we're wrapping up our time together, is there anything else that you wanted to share, either about your life or about wellness or about your hopes and dreams?
I would say really the most important thing that we can have our lives is our health and our wellness. So as human beings who get one life and one life only, we should all do what we can to be the healthiest version of ourselves. And I think there's a lot of information online and on social media about how to be the best you. And it can be a lot of information overload. So I think make sure you're looking at reputable resources when you're getting your information on your health journey. And make goals for yourself. Decide where am I am now? Where do I want to be in 3, 6, 12 months in terms of my health goals? And make little steps towards that. No one changes overnight. So I always say, just start low and go slow and get to where you want to be. And we all, have times where things go well. You're on your health kick, you're working out, you're eating better, and then life happens and you kind of fall off that routine, and that's perfectly okay. Get back up and get to that routine. But I think we all just have to focus on being the best version of ourselves, both emotionally, physically, mentally, and supporting each other through our individual journeys, because life can be tough, but find your support system of those people who can help you through those tough times so you can enjoy the beautiful times with them.
I love that. Just kind of working in manageable bits in life to make it all work.
Absolutely. Rome
Yeah.
wasn't built in a day. So do your best. That's what I always say. Do your best, and that's all we can ask for.
Well, I am so delighted that our patients and their families are able to receive the care that you offer here with us within Winship at Emory. And I really do wish you much luck, many blessings in these next few years of your fellowship. And thank you so much for spending this time with our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here at Emory. I'm excited to get into the community a little bit more and make sure that I'm making the impact that I want to do with the knowledge that I have and I can share with those who really need it the most. So I'm enjoying my fellowship. Thanks for having me, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. And if you would like to share your story, please contact myself, Caroline Peacock, or Dr. Wendy Bear, and we will be glad to record your story as well. Thank you and be well.